I'm going to start off by talking about something that I've been talking a lot about recently, so you guys are going to have to just bear with me on this. But this message, kind of, I needed to start out here to get where I'm headed, but I promise I'm going to get there. The first little point I want to talk about is what we put in, that's what we become. What we put in, that's what we become. The thing that we allow to come into our mind, the thing that we allow to come into our eyes, the thing that we allow to come into our ears, they come inside of us, they get in there, and they can, if we're not careful, we allow ourselves to see them, and they change who we are. They change our heart. They have the ability to change our heart. And that's what Satan's trying to do. But more importantly, that's what the mechanism, the world, the things around us, that's what it's trying to do. It's trying to taint us. And not all of it is there to try and taint us in a way to take our salvation. That's not necessarily their point. A lot of it is just to like suck us into a way of life that benefits their way of life. But we got to be careful, because our goal is eternal life. We can't allow ourselves to be swayed, no matter how it gets into our eyes and our mind, and no matter what the reasons are behind it. We have to make sure that we're doing our part to keep it out. Let's turn to Philippians 4, please. Philippians 4, start reading in verse 8. You should have did a sound check. Am I talking too loud? All right, Philippians 4, start reading in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. These are the things that we have to be meditating on. We have to be studying. We have to be concentrating on these things. And the big reason for that is making sure we keep the other stuff out. If we're concentrating on the good, it's harder for the bad to get in. If we have to replace the bad. When we came out of Egypt, we came out of sin. God brought us out of our sin when he called us. We have to make sure we're replacing the stuff that's removed with good. We have to make sure that the stuff we're letting come in is good. We have to surround ourselves with good. Surround ourselves with holiness. Surround ourselves with God, God's people, and God's word. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Conformed, transformed by the renewing of our mind. If we're going to renew our mind, if we're going to transform our mind, like I said, from the old us to the new, we have to be careful what's going into it. We have to be careful what's going into our eyes, into our mind, into our ears, into our hearts. We have to protect them. We have to try and keep all the ugly stuff out, all that sin out, all the stuff. On the television, I always talk about this, and you probably get sick of hearing it. I don't care. I'm going to keep on talking. Everything that we look at is trying to pull us away from God's way. We're the very small percentage of mankind that wants to do it right. All the whole mechanism is trying to mess us up. Satan, the world, the machine that is entertainment and media, and they're trying to pull us away. We have got to be careful of the things that go into our minds. We have to transform our mind. How do we transform our mind? One of the ways is by changing the stuff that we let into our eyes, the stuff that we let into our ears, the stuff that we let into our hearts. Psalm 101, verse 1. Psalms 101, start reading in verse 1. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when you will come to me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Brethren, we have got to make sure of that. We have got to make sure that we're not letting wickedness in front of our eyes, not letting wickedness into our homes. There's so much. As I've always said, if I've been talking about a lot lately, anything that you may have that you're trying to struggle with, that you have struggles with, that you have struggled in the past, that you are struggling with now, anything is at our fingertips immediately. There's never been a time in history where it's been so readily available. That's what makes it so dangerous. We know that it's always been around. I mean, Noah, the ark, God did that because he had to destroy mankind. And they could, you know what I mean? They're on horseback or walking, getting from place to place to spread the corruption. We have a device that will put you in China in 5 seconds. That will put you anywhere that your mind can go in a matter of a blink of an eye. Evil is spread so fast, so readily available. Anything that you want is right there. We have got to guard our hearts by starting with what we let to come in. We have to guard our homes. We have to protect our children from this junk. Protect each other. Protect our wives, our parents, our nieces, our nephews, our friends, each other. We have got to be on alert at all times because it's there. It's everywhere. Psalms 101, dropping down to verse 6. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the land. We have got to surround ourselves with people of a like mind. We have to try and make, if there's somebody in our midst, somebody that we're around all the time, they're not representing the type of person that we should be around, we need not be around them. That might sound harsh. We all have to work with people. We can't just choose every single person that's in our lives, but we can choose the people that we spend a lot of time with. We can choose the people that we converse with about things other than work. We can definitely choose who we go fishing with if you know what I mean, or whatever your thing, go golf and go whatever. Whoever, you can choose who you fish with. You can't always choose who you work with. So we got to make sure we're making those choices wisely, because we have to protect the stuff that's getting inside of us. Matthew 5, verse 28. Matthew 5, verse 28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. That is a very vivid picture. God doesn't want us to go tearing our eyes out. But he says it in such a way that it makes it obvious if there's something that we're letting come into our eyes, something that we're letting to come into our mind, into our heart, and it doesn't belong, get rid of it. To be clear, I don't think he wants you to pluck your eye out, because that won't matter, because your brain's right behind your eye, and our brain is where the magic happens before it gets into our heart. We got to make sure that this stuff is not getting into us. We have to make a point to get it out away from us. I don't know what the answer is, to be honest with you, because it's everywhere. I don't know what your deal is. I know what my ideals are. I know the things I'm trying to work on. I know the things that in myself that I'm trying to change. I won't share those with you because that could be very uncomfortable. But what I will tell you is, it's everywhere. And like I said, it's very personal. Each of you knows what yours is. We have to guard ourselves. We have to guard ourselves. Whatever those things that we don't need to have in front of us, get it out. Whatever, like, get it out. And again, like 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We have to be very careful. The people that we're around, can affect us negatively. And if we, on the flip side, we surround ourselves with good people, it can help us. It will help us. We surround ourselves with the right people. That's why God tells us to do it. We have to get the evil people away and bring good, surround ourselves with good. Surround ourselves with people that are trying to live like we're trying to live. The reason we have to do all these things, one of the reasons that we have right now, there's so much we need to keep it aware. The title of my message today is Beware of the Pitfalls. Beware of the Pitfalls. There are so many pitfalls. There's so many things so many different topics we could talk about. Bottom line is, whatever it is that we are struggling with, beware of it. Be on guard for it. Keep the input that's coming into us. Beware of it. We have control. Remember that too. We have control. Satan doesn't come in our house and grab our remote control. He doesn't load things on our phone or on our computer. He doesn't go to the library for us and bring books and shove them in front of our face. It's all there, but it's our choice. We're the ones that choose what we put in. So we have to be careful what we're putting in. Because we have to beware of the pitfalls. We have to make sure the stuff's going in is helping us to avoid the pitfalls. One of the first ones I'm going to talk about, there's only two. This is the first topic on that I'm going to talk. We have to bridle our tongue. We have to learn to bridle our tongue. That is a huge topic. Bridle our tongue. It's a really tough one for me because I've always been kind of a colorful guy. I've always been a little, Lonnie's gonna laugh at me right now. Like, I've always been shy. But I use that to help me overcome my shyness. So in that, sometimes my tongue gets a little loose. So I have to always be careful of my tongue. Let's talk about bridling the tongue. I'm sure we all have our own levels of that that need to be handled. Ephesians 4, we're going to start reading in verse 29. Ephesians 4, starting verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. On that part, don't let it come out of your mouth if it's not edifying to someone. A lot of us might struggle with this. I struggle with this particular part. Like, just because you're right, or just because your words can be justified in some way, doesn't mean you should actually say them always. There are things that we could say to someone. If someone's being horribly mean to you, you could justify being mean back. But it would be a lot easier and more godly righteous if we would not be mean back. Turn away the mean with something nice, something good, something wonderful. kill them with kindness, if you will. If somebody's being mean to you, be nice back to them. Hard as it can be. But if just because we're right doesn't mean we have the right to say it to someone. If like, okay, my grandma, she's 95, 96. She has Alzheimer's. She can't remember anything. She has like dementia. She can remember nothing. So there was a period of time where people in my life that I would be, she would say something that was completely just wrong. It was like she would remember things wrong. They would think that they needed to correct her. Like, why? Like, why? Just because, oh yeah, you're right. She is wrong. What you're saying is true, but it's not helping her. It's not edifying for her. It's not doing any good. It's just making her frustrated. So we have to be careful. The things that we say, are we saying them just because we think we're right? Or are we saying them because we think we're being helpful? There can be a difference. And bridling our tongue to the point where everything that comes out of our mouth is edifying is extremely difficult. Remember, just because it's right doesn't mean you get to say it. If it doesn't help somebody, you might just let it go. Who cares if we're right? If it's not helpful, be right in silence sometimes. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. All of it. Even if we think we're right. Evil speaking. Sometimes you've all been in arguments in your life. And when you get in an argument, what do you want to do? Talk louder. Like, because the loudest person is always the winner. No! Like, you... Just, that doesn't make it, we have to learn to bridle our tongue, to cut that back, to bring that down, and just talk to people. Have conversations with people. Evil speaking in any way, right or wrong, is bad. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ forgave you. We're going to keep on going. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Now we're getting to the bottom of this. Imitators of God. That's our goal. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. As is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. No, here's one of my weaknesses. Like, when we allow ourselves to listen to comedians, there's very few comedians out there that aren't pretty coarse. But you know what? It's funny. And I'm just as guilty as anyone because it's funny, but it's not. It's like cancerous. It's cancerous. It can get inside of us. And again, we're letting it in our ears. We're letting it in our eyes. So it's affecting our heart. So if it's funny, what's going to keep us from telling that joke? And if you have to leave out the bad word, all of a sudden it's not as funny because you can't figure out how to say it. You know, it's a slippery slope. But comedy, entertainment, that kind of thing, it's right there in front of us all the time. And we're laughing at it because it's funny. Eddie Murphy is funny. But man, when he was young, whoo, come on, man. We shouldn't have been listening to it. But man, it was funny. But brethren, it's not okay. We have to guard ourselves from that. And some of you might not have that. I grew up in construction. From the time I was 13 years old, I worked around the most foul-mouthed people that you've ever been around. And I was one of them for many years. It's a struggle. It's a thing. Some of you might not have that. Some of you might. Some of us might. We got to be careful because if we're letting it in, all of a sudden it's becoming normal to us and it can come out of our mouth. James 1, James 1, starting in verse 25. James 1, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows and in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. If we do not bridle our tongues, everything, we're going to taint everything that we're doing. Well, like, how can we allow ourselves to not bridle our tongue, to just let our tongue run crazy, and then go over to an orphan or a widow's house and, "Hey, Mrs. Johnson, how are you doing today, ma'am?" When you just got done 5 minutes ago being horrible. We can't do both. We can't be both. We have to be one or the other. We have to make sure that the things that we're doing, the things that we're saying, go together. Our tongue, bridling our tongue leads us. We follow it around. The things that we let come out of our mouth, our body follows it behind it. We'll get to that in a minute. But it 100%, the things that we say, we are accountable for. The things that we say do matter. Especially, one of the big things is the people around us. Let's keep on going. James 3. James 3, starting in verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Put the bridle in the horse's mouth, you can lead it anywhere. Once you break the horse, you can lead it anywhere. You take the bridle out of his mouth, it becomes harder to lead. The things that we allow to come out of our mouth are a direct reflection of what is inside of us, and it's a direct reflection of the way that we're allowing ourselves to live. We have to be very knowledgeable of that and keep that in the back of our mind, in the front of our mind. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? It doesn't take many words to change like a whole situation. Like the peaceful, quote unquote, peaceful protesters in Oregon and Washington and stuff. I guarantee you some of those people were just out there because they literally believed what they were doing. But there's a handful of people that knows all you got to do is go in there and let your mouth run and start telling people to do ugly stuff. And you can lead a whole group of people with just a few ugly words. Our words are that important. The things that come out of our mouth are that important. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. If we're not careful, that's what ours is. We have got to learn to tame it. Verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives or A grapevine bears figs, thus no spring yields both salt water and flesh. We cannot allow the same tongue that praises God and comes in here and sings and worships and we speak so nicely to each other when we walk through that door. We cannot have use that same tongue to go outside and let it just run crazy. And let's just say whatever we want. Our tongue, we have got to control it. I'm going to share with you a story because you guys know I love telling on myself. This was years ago. I know Lonnie's smiling at me again. No, this wasn't last week. I promise you it was years ago. But, like I said, comedy is one of my weaknesses. Like, and I used to allow myself to really listen to some terrible stuff because it was funny. Years, and you know, back when I used to even go to the Baptist church, way, way, way back, I was, I made myself quit cussing. Completely. I didn't cuss, period. At all. Not ever, never, ever. I wasn't back in the church yet, but I was going to, like I said, a Baptist church. So I didn't cuss at all for years. At work, anywhere, I was the guy at work that didn't cuss. I was the construction worker that did not cuss. Okay. There were some cabinet guys that I worked with all the time. I knew them very well. But, you know, cabinet job, you don't always use cabinet guys. You know what I mean? So there was a 6 month span or so there where I didn't see them. And during that time, I was allowing little things to come in my mind. Little this, little that, like, and allowing my mind to, when I would, think of things, when I would contemplate things, I was allowing the cuss words to be in my mind. I'm like, huh. Didn't catch it. So, I started letting the small, you know, not the big ones, if you know what I'm saying, but little cuss words, like little ones coming out my mouth in quote unquote justifiable times. Where it would be easy to justify, even though I'm a Christian and I try and live right, letting these little things slip out of my mouth. Fast forward 6 months, I'm on a job site with these two cabinet guys that I've been working with for years. And somebody was telling a story about me, and within the story it said, Jim said, blah, blah, blah. And these two guys, they looked at each other and they laughed, ha, ha. Jim didn't say blah, blah, blah. And whoever was there said, oh yeah, he did. They both turned and looked at me like I grew another head. And in that moment, my embarrassment was, and I was like, oh. If we're not careful, it will happen. We are, what comes out of our mouth does matter. People notice it. They do notice it. And we have to watch it all the time. It says to bridle our tongue. If you don't keep control of it, it goes from that to the next time you're mad, woo, you know what's happening then. And the next time you think you're justifiably mad, woo, you better watch out now. We have got to bridle our tongue because if not, that sucker will get loose. It's one of the hardest things we can do for some of us. Some others of us, like I said, we may have a tendency to think that we're right. And we very well may be. But is the thing that we're letting come out of our mouth actually helpful to the person that we're speaking to? Or even if we're 100% right, but it hurts that person's feeling and it will not do any good, why say it? That's part of bridling our tongue. The things that come out of our mouth, if they're not helpful, who cares? Keep them to yourself. They don't need to be said. Colossians 3, we start reading in verse 8. Colossians 3, starting in verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. According to the image of him who created him, that's who we have to be trying to be like. That's who we have to be pushing ourselves to be like. Christ didn't, he didn't use bad words. The things that came out of his mouth were edifying. Even when he was in the temple and he was flipping over, angrily flipping over tables, it was for a reason. He didn't say things that did. He was a carpenter. How many times do you think he must have hit his thumb with a hammer? He didn't cuss. You know what I mean? How many carpenters, how many people in here use a hammer before and hit themselves in the thumb and didn't at least think of a cuss word? It's hard, man. But we have to bridle our tongue because it goes from those bits and it grows. We're going to go to unleavened bread here in a really soon, actually. We know that leaven, little leaven, leavens the whole lump. We let those little things in. It grows and grows and grows. And next thing you know, we're back to the people that we once we were before. We can't let that happen, brethren. In the image of him who created us. Matthew 15, verse 10. We had called the multitude to himself. He said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. Not what goes in, but what comes out. The things that come out our mouth, that's what defiles a man. Drop down to verse 15. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. The things that come out of our mouth. The things that come out of our heart. The things that come out of us. That's the things that defile a man. We have to control those things. And part of that is controlling what goes in. Controlling what goes in so that we can have better control of what comes out. We have got to learn to control our tongue. Bridle our tongue. It's a huge pitfall because there's so many things out there. There's so many things that come in cross our path each and every day. There's so many people that aren't necessarily nice that cross our path. Just the normal situations of life come across our path. We have to be careful at all times. And the reason they're happening is to try and help us become like him. We have to practice being like him. And we're not, so we have to keep on having these things come in front of us so we can continue to practice. So let's practice and let's learn to bridle our tongue. The next thing I want to talk about, no comfortable way to talk about this, so I'm just going to jump in the middle of it. Addiction. Addiction. Right now there's so many things going on in the world that we're flooded. And if anyone in here thinks that there's no people in the church that struggle with addiction, that's a crazy thought, because there is. Proverbs 20 and verse 1
says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise.
Alcoholism. Alcoholism is real. To be clear, I'm not preaching abstinence here. The Bible does not teach abstinence. The Bible does teach controlling and not being drunk and not being controlled. It says to be led astray is not wise. We cannot allow alcohol to lead us anywhere, for that matter. If it's leading us, we got a problem. Everyone here, if you've ever been out to dinner with me, you know I like beer. I'm drinking a beer with my dinner.
Period. I like beer. Do I have to be careful? 100%. I grew up in a culture where alcohol flowed like water from the water cooler. I have to be careful all the time. I like to have a beer. I like to have a couple beers. Period. I'm not ashamed to admit it. But when we let it take control of us, that's where the problem comes in. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6. And that, speaking of alcohol, I mean, that can go to anything. So nowadays, there's so many people, I can't even begin to tell you how many people I know right now that have a medical marijuana card. Everyone's heard of it because medical marijuana is legal in Arkansas. California, there's many places where it's just legal. But here in Arkansas, it has to be a medical thing. So you get a medical marijuana card. A buddy of mine that I work with, he is having a problem where his appetite, he lost his appetite. He has no appetite to eat. So he goes to the doctor to check on his stomach and see what's wrong with him. Doctor says, oh, you're fine. Gives him a medical marijuana card. Says, go smoke some weed and then you'll get hungry. What are you talking? What in the world? We're in a culture right now where a doctor will prescribe you marijuana so that you'll get the munchies and start eating. What? Painkillers nowadays are so powerful. They're so dangerous that they're destroying our young generation. Anybody from 20, I would say 30 now, I'm getting old, 30 down, they're in danger right now with all of these prescription drugs. They're in absolute danger. The same kid that I'm telling you about, many of his friends from high school are dead right now from accidental fentanyl overdoses because they got hooked on these stupid pills. And then you can't afford those pills, so you have to get cheap. And next thing you know, fentanyl comes in, they're dead. Absolute danger. Got a little sidetracked on myself there. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. I'm going to tell you another story. On that topic, before I figured out that I have RA, I had these pains. I was in pain all the time. So my doctor at the time, he couldn't figure out what I did. He did all the tests. He couldn't figure out what I had. So he prescribed me painkillers. And I was in pain. I mean, I was in legitimate pain. Like, legitimate pain. So I went home and I was taking them. And then every day I would go to work, but I was only taking what it told me to take. But I would take one in the morning or whatever it was and one at night, whatever it was. One day, maybe 3 or 4 days into this, they were like hydrocodones or oxycodones. I don't even know. I didn't find out till later that they're one of the really bad ones, but whatever. So I'm at work and I'm thinking, and to be clear, at the moment at work, I was not in pain. I had a great day. I felt great all day. And I'm getting close to the end of the day and I'm thinking to myself, when I get home, I'm going to pop me one of those. And it hit me right there, thankfully, right on the, I was like, whoa, what? I went straight home after work. I took them, I flushed them down the toilet, I threw the thing in the trash, never taken one since. That was many years ago. But, like, I had no pain. But those things were, like, calling me, like, when I get home, I'm going to take one. What? Those got to go. It's dangerous, brethren. It can get any one of us. If I wouldn't have caught myself, who knows? It's dangerous. And it's too available. It's so extremely available. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord. God both raise up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Do you know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Brethren, sexual immorality is something that we have got to push ourselves away from. Again, it's not a simple topic to talk about from up here. I have to be careful speaking about it almost, but it's in the book. It's right here in front of our face. We're real quick to point out as Christians, and rightly so, like homosexuality. That's the easy one. Fornication, adultery, looking at things that we're not supposed to look at, thinking thoughts that we're not supposed to think, thinking about things from before, like Lot's wife. When she came out, Sodom and Gomorrah, she turned around and looked back because she was thinking about before. We're pulled out. We have to make sure we're not letting our mind to go back the way we were before we were called and changed, and we're trying to be converted right now to become one of God's children. We have to make sure we have to be sure. That's why young people, you have got to, anybody in here that's not married, you got to be, you have to be careful who you join with. You become one flesh with a human being. If that human being is of different mind, and then you try to come back with you, we're one flesh with Christ. We're the body of Christ. We're one flesh with Christ. How can we join ourselves to someone on purpose that is not? That's dangerous. Again, a very personal topic. Some people in here might want to throw a rock at me right now. That's fine too, but we have to be careful. Young people, single people, listen to what I'm telling you. When you're looking for a mate, do your best to find someone that believes the way you do, because you will be one flesh with them. We all know people that are married to people that aren't, and we know the difficult stories. There are difficult stories. It's not easy. It's not easy for us. Shannon and I are a united front, and it is extremely difficult to live this life. We have to make sure that who we bind ourselves with is somebody of like mind. It will make our life easier, make our life better. But speaking of sexual immorality, we have got to make sure the things that we see, the things that we allow in, the things that we're watching, that affects us. And it's not just the homosexual part. That's just the part that's easy for us to like if you're watching a TV show or something, all of a sudden two guys are kissing, you're like, oh man, I don't want to watch this anymore. But okay, 15 minutes ago, they're two neighbors who aren't married, were just making out on the front porch and we didn't change the channel. You know what I mean? So we got to be very careful what we allow our minds to think and ponder on and meditate on. We have to make sure that we're putting the emphasis on the right stuff. Sexual immorality is sexual immorality no matter what it looks like. We have to make sure we remember that. And remember that we are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. If we are God's temple, if we are God's people, then we are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. So anything we put in the temple that shouldn't be there defiles the temple. and it can't be there. It doesn't matter. Any addiction, any, it doesn't matter what it is. Cigarettes, prescription drugs, too much alcohol, chewing tobacco, sexual immorality, any of the things that we put in ourselves that do not represent God it's wrong. We can't allow it to come in. We can't, no matter what it is. Any addiction we have to be careful of. One just came to my mind. Shannon and I, we went on our anniversary. It was our 20th anniversary, so we went and stayed in Hot Springs. And we went to the horse races. Now, we weren't quote unquote gambling, because we were just like doing a little entertainment. But within our entertainment, we did buy some, whatever you call we bet on some horse races. But we had a certain amount of money we were going to spend. It wasn't, and we only, this is like the second time we've been in 5 years, so it's not like we have a problem gambling. But we were just there being entertained. And the reason I'm talking about this is because of the addiction thing that I'm talking about. We're there, and the first time we went, we didn't win $1. We didn't win a quarter. We won nothing. So whatever we put in, if we're 50 bucks or whatever, we lost all of it. This time we bought our tickets and we won. Like, we won about 500 bucks. So like, we're winning, and I'm like, we're like, woohoo! It's fun, man. So like, after that second exactive that we hit, and we picked the winner as well, there was like a 50-1 long shot, we looked at each other and we're like, we can't do this anymore. I could see how easy a person, cause like, it was awesome. It was a rush, man. And then the last six races, we didn't win anything. So the high and the low, I can see how it could easily become addicting. And here's the other kicker. You look around and you could tell people that were there like us and they're just having a good time, whatever, drinking a beer, eating hot dogs and like, woo, every once in a while. And then, but you could see the other people too. Lots of them, like the two little kids right there. Right in front of us, one row in front of us, like 10 feet over, two little kids are over there, they're like humped over there, like typing on their phones or something. And then there's their dad, he's got the newspaper over here, some other paper, he's got a bunch of tickets and all this stuff, and he's scratching and licking a pencil, you know what I mean? This dude was like, and you see his four kids right there stuck at the horse races, I'm not gonna be mean to, but he didn't need to be wasting his money at the track. You could tell by what you saw. That he didn't need to be wasting his money at the track. So there's that side of it. There's an addiction there. And we have to be, it doesn't matter what it is. We have to make sure that we guard ourselves from any addiction, including gambling. All of it. Sexual immorality, gambling, cigarettes, prescription drugs, alcohol, all of it's bad. Brethren, we're called out of the world and we accepted God's calling and we were baptized or a lot of us in here are baptized. Just because we're trying to live a certain, it doesn't make us immune. We're not immune to these things. We are human. We 100% have all the things inside of us that make us human are still there. It's still wars against God. It's still wars against God's spirit. We have to always remember that. Always be trying to push those things out. Always make sure the things that we're allowing to go in our mind don't push us towards the pitfalls. So many people. First Peter 2,
verse 11.
Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Brethren, we're not here forever. We're only on this earth temporarily. It says as sojourners and pilgrims, as temporary dwelling on this earth, pilgrims, meaning we're going to a place. And because of our religion, we're going places, we're doing things. We are God's people. We're on this journey. We're here on this planet temporarily. We have to abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against us, which war against the people that we want to be. Making sure that the way that we are, the way that we live, the way that we allow ourselves to project ourselves, we have got to be projecting a godly image. And if we're not, it's wrong. And if we go away from trying to project a godly image, the pitfalls that we can fall in are real. And the pit can be deep. Once you start falling, the pit is deep. That's why it was called a pitfall. The surface is hidden, and then you hit it, and you fall, and now you're going down. And if you're not careful and climb back out of it, we can't keep falling. And next thing you know, we're back where we started. It can happen, brethren. We are not immune. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. First Peter 5 verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all our care upon him. He's the one that will help us. When we feel ourselves getting ready to fall into something, pray, get on our knees and pray. God, help me not. Help me not fall in this. I know better. Help me. God is the only one we have. Because the pitfalls I'm talking about are the ones that are inside of us. We have to ask him to help us not to fall. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may but devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We're all suffering these things. We have got to be careful. We have got to recognize the adversary. We have got to make sure that we keep leaning on God, because we can't do it by ourselves. Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him be the glory. He's the one that can help us stay out of it. He's the one that gets the glory for it. Anything that we overcome isn't of our own doing. It's because God helped us overcome it. He's the one that gets the glory. We have to keep giving it back to him and keep asking him to help us on the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and forever. Until the kingdom come, forever we're going to be being tripped up by these little things. These pits will be put in front of us. All of ours will be different. Each of us have them, and each of us has to ask him to help us. James 1, verse 12. Sorry to read that. No. Did I? If I did, I'm reading it again because I'm on a roll now. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That's what I'm talking about. We're drawn away by our own desire. The pitfalls that are in front of us are because they're the ones that we desire. It's what we are looking for before. The things that God pulled us out of. It's the things that are inside of us that entice us. Verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everything good comes from Him. We are drawn away by our own stuff. God didn't create all these things for us. He doesn't create the pitfall for us. It's what we desire that's impure, that is our struggle. Those are the things that we have to ask Him to help us to overcome. First Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10, verse 13. Not Acts. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Brethren, hallelujah for that. We are weak. We are human. We are, anything good in us is only from Him. But the temptations that are out there, they are real. The temptations that are out there, they're out. They're the stuff that comes from within us. But they are not too big for God. God will always give us an escape route. No matter what you may be going through, whatever I might be going through, whatever you may be struggling with, know this, that God is all powerful and is capable and able to help us out of it. He will pull us out of it. That's His goal for us to be in His family. He will help us. No matter how big it is. No matter, there's nothing so big that He can't help us fix it. And there's nothing so small that He doesn't desire to help us fix it. No matter how big or how small it is. No matter how seemingly insignificant. If it is not of God, it doesn't belong. We need to ask Him to help us get it out. Brethren, let's be careful for the pitfalls. Let's be careful of all this ugliness that's around us. Let's keep it out as best we can. Let's keep it out. Bring in the good, stay in the Bible, stay on our knees, stay in meditation, keep pushing forward to God's kingdom, and remember that there are things out there. All the things that try and trip us up came from inside of us, and the only way that we can possibly overcome it is through Him and by Him.